You're listening to The Kelly Track Show. I'm your host, Kelly Track, author, coach, and eternal optimist. Each week, I'll give you lessons to elevate your life, reclaim your personal power, and truly awaken and transform. Your best life starts right now. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the show. Thank you, as always, for being here. Today, we have another episode in our readers series where we sit down with folks who've read P.S. You're a Genius and they share how it's helped them or supported them. So today, we're talking with Lindsay Schmidt. And here's a little backstory on Lindsay. Lindsay is currently a recruiter and a habit coach. She previously worked in K-12 education as a principal and business and IT educator. Her past role include sales and human resources. Lindsay has a master's degree in administrative leadership, business education, and human resources. In the summer of 2020, she started a coaching business called Living with Greatness, working with professionals to create and sustain habits that they set out to achieve. Lastly, Lindsay has done a lot of reading, and she's read all types of professional development books and shares that knowledge with her clients. In today's conversation, we talk about how we define ourselves when we're not defined by our job title. And Lindsay shares how P.S. You're a Genius really helped her figure that out specifically and who she really was when she wasn't, you know, working in a certain type of job or when her identity wasn't anchored to the role she did at work, which I think is such a thing that many of us face. I know I sure feel like that. And I've had many a thoughts of like, who am I if I don't do X, Y, and Z? Like, how do I define myself? And Who am I really? So if that is of interest to you as well, and maybe something that you are working through in real time, or maybe you're going through a transition in your life where you're leaving a certain title behind or a job or a role or a thing that you did for many years to become something new or to switch and pivot, then I think you will feel right at home in this episode. All right, let's go to the show. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Lindsay. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
All right. Yay. So we have some rapid fire to get started. Do you want to tell the listeners what city you live in?
So I live outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Nice. And what's your job? What do you give yourself a title as?
So currently I am a senior recruiter for a hospitality group, but then I'm also a habit coach on the side.
Nice. And what's your go-to coffee order or tea?
So I'm pretty simple. I'm pretty boring. I really just like a large drip coffee with a lot of cream, a little bit of Splenda, pretty simple, but it's good.
Nice.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. And what's something that you're obsessed with right now? It could be something that you're like watching a lot on YouTube or interested or reading or anything like that.
So obviously being a habit coach, I'm super obsessed with habits in general of what are habits of high performers, what is everybody doing really to kind of achieve their goals and what does all of those things have in common? And those have all led me to habits. So I have been obsessed with figuring out what are all the habits that we have as people and how do we really optimize them to kind of achieve what we want to do.
Amazing. Do you have any like favorite books or like frameworks? I'm sure you got tons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using the same like five or six that have been super, super popular, like Atomic Habits. I think that's what really jumped me off is really understanding, how does your brain work that way? But looking back, I've read Stephen Covey's book of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think that one just rings true for so many things. Tiny Habits by BJ Fong, The Power of Habit by Charles
Duhigg.
Yes, thank you. I was going to say his name wrong. And then, of course, High Performance Habits by Brandon Bouchard. I think you say his last name.
Yes.
I think all of those have so many different aspects of what you can do to really build the things that you want to do. And it's really not as difficult as everybody tries to make it be, which I thought was really interesting. Like building habits actually is quite easy, but that doesn't make it like any less like mind difficult, if that makes sense. It's always our mindset that gets us in a way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those are all great books, lots of little nuggets. I think my favorite from Atomic Habits is just like habit stacking and like making it attractive versus making it not attractive. Just little things like that are really
It's huge. And I find that like as I worked with a couple people, really like two things end up getting in our way. It's honestly our mindset of clarity and understanding, like, what is our brain telling us to do in terms of getting this habit done? when you've been successful or not. Mm-hmm. And then two, what are you already doing that we can currently like adjust or switch in that moment? And especially with habit stacking, because then that makes you so much more successful because your brain does switch it over for something I have to do to actually being a habit that sticks, which is awesome. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's something that you're learning more about right now?
Obviously, lots about marketing. I know very, very little. I wish I knew so much more. It's one of those skills that I don't pay attention to very much in college. But yeah, just learning everything I possibly can in terms of marketing and how do you market. And specifically, I'm more on like the LinkedIn space just because I think I feel more comfortable there. But yeah, just learning as much as I possibly can about how to market yourself and as a business as well as a personal brand.
Yeah, totally. I know that marketing piece is huge. It definitely is. I feel like there's so much to learn and like so many things. And I swear everybody on the internet has like an opinion on marketing. So it's like, I remember when I was starting my business and I would listen to podcasts and I was like overwhelmed by like all the things to do. I'm like, yes, oh my gosh, there's so much to do.
Yes, it's so hard. And I struggle too, because like one person says this and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then the other person says the exact opposite. And I'm like, okay, now which one are they? Can they both be true? Are they both wrong? Which one do I follow? There's so much information and sometimes it's conflicting. And so you're like, which one do I pick? So it gets difficult, but it's very, very interesting to me because I definitely think everybody has pretty much said it is simple, but it's hard to like navigate if you don't know what to do. Like once you figure it out, it makes so much sense, but trying to navigate through it, it's very messy.
Totally, for sure. So you are a dear reader of PS.
Yes, I am.
Graciously offered to come on and do a little reader series.
Yes, I love it.
Share how you found the book, how it came into your life.
Yeah. So I found your book actually from your podcast. And I'm not sure. I think you might have been on somebody else's podcast. Then I went to your podcast that I found out you had a book. And then, of course, I'm like, well, now I'm obsessed. And of course, I have to get your book. And so, yeah, I ordered it right away from the podcast. And I felt like it hit me right at the perfect time. Because I had recently just quit jobs from being a principal, and then, you know, being in a school all the time and then working from home. And so feeling like, I don't really know if this is the right fit for me, but definitely kind of want something else or different. Mm-hmm. And so your book just spoke to me in so many different ways, which is awesome.
Thank you for reading it.
You're welcome. Of course. I've actually dived it a few times to go back. Like I said, I messaged you before, I did read this, I went to the coffee shop, I read it, I took a bunch of notes. I'm just a nerd like that, even though I've got so much school behind me. I love just to take, highlight the crap out of something and take a bunch of notes and reflect and revive it and relearn and reread. Cause I think every time you read something like this, you something new every single time, which is awesome. And I love books like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And from the book, what did you learn about your gifts? What would you say your top 3 to 5 most innate gifts are?
So for sure, teaching, organizing, and I guess it's very similar, planning. We identified on probably a lot of the same ones. Maybe I kind of copied, but I also felt like just in terms of our backgrounds, very similar, go-getters, high achievers type of people. And then that connection piece, I do like having connection and collaboration with other people. Mm-hmm. I think there's a genius in that messy middle when I can help problem solve with other people around to ask questions and dive in.
Yeah. Oh, those are all really great. And then how would you say your genius surfaces when you do them all together? Are there certain activities that you do that you really feel like you're in your genius when you do them and you really feel like you're in the flow?
Yeah, I think when I'm working with a group of people, there's some kind of problem solving that needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. I'm able to ask some really deep questions and problem solve. I just feel like I'm on fire. I feel like it just makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And we can see a way through that works as a win-win for everybody. That's not something that it only works for some people, but really, truly, everybody has come to the table and gotten something out of it, which I love. I love that part.
So it's like when you're all in like a meeting, you know what I mean? And like an idea brainstorm or like problem solving, and like there's a problem. Is it any kind of problem that really energizes you, or is it specific types of problems you like to solve, but just sort of that like figuring it out and thinking and planning and talking through?
Yeah, it's literally anything. And it doesn't even have to be a big group, even if it's just a one or two people. If it's, you know, when I was working with my staff, it was just like one or two of us, you know, we're working through something, whatever it is. I like having ideas to bounce back and forth, or what about this? Or have we thought about it this way? And then also thinking about what are the resources that I have available that we can tap into? How can we solve this together so that not only does it solve maybe a need that I have, because I need to ask them to do something, or it works better for, you know, for whatever initiative we have to take care of, but really, ultimately, does it work well for you? Like, do you get it? Does it make sense for your situation and the season of life you're in? And then when it's a team situation, like, how does it work within all of our schedules and the priorities and all of that? And, you know, can we make it a win for whatever project we're working on, but also within what's happening on our current plate, which I think is really important, because nobody wants to burn out. Nobody wants to be more stressed than they already are. And so if there's a way that we can really feel like everybody's being heard and understands what's going on, we can find a positive and very collaborative solution, which I like that part a lot, because then we all walk away happy. That doesn't happen a lot.
No. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I feel like, yeah, there's something I really like. You, Lindsay, also really enjoy like the problem solving and like figuring things out. And I feel like there's like almost a sense of like accomplishment, or like the time was very productive together when you walk away with some sort of resolution or solution or answer. I mean, it's part of why I love the consulting and coaching stuff so much, because we're like working through and like getting somewhere. Would you feel the same in your habit coaching?
100%. 100%. I love to really kind of like dig in. What is really the issue? Because, and I think this is a big reason I came into the coaching scheme, is it's really truly from your book, realizing what did I like most about my job? And one of the pieces I liked the most about being a leader in a school was really working with my staff. I loved my staff. And anytime there was something that needed me taking care of, like a district initiative or whatever, and people had issues to get on board or take care of it, it was never about the professional thing. It was always about something else that was going on. And so if we could work through that piece together, and whatever it may have been, the professional piece ultimately then ended up working itself out. And so just having that time and that space to really work things out together, I felt like not only did then my staff feel supported, but also I felt like I was able to help. I made an impact, and I made it just a better, more collaborative, welcoming place to work. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, everybody wants to feel appreciated. And I think that's a big piece of like feeling appreciated for whatever you're working on and doing.
Totally. Yeah. And then is there any other pockets where you feel like your genius shows up in your coaching work? Like, do you ever feel like there's other times you're just like, oh, I really love this aspect, or like, I love this part, or when people bring maybe certain problems to you, or habits they're working through, or places they get stuck, or any other stuff, or things, even just like random, even just in daily life that you're like, oh, I just love doing this. Maybe it's like, when friends come to you for advice, or like are stuck in a spot?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I get the reward when people get that aha moment, specifically within coaching, is that I find like when I'm asking some deep questions or asking them to think about something a little bit differently, or even looking through their own mirror of like, hey, these are the things you just told me. Now you're hearing them back. And all of a sudden they have this aha moment. I have fallen in love with that part to see like, oh my, oh, this is awesome. Like, this wasn't just me. This wasn't just you. This was us together working through whatever it is, whether it's something big or something small, your thought process has changed. And I think that is so cool, just to see that piece outside of, you know, a work situation. That's awesome. But just seeing that aha moment and getting a little bit of like that inspiration of, I can see this a different way. To me, that's like life-changing. That shows like there are other things that we can impact and change, which is awesome.
Yeah, I liked how you phrased that, of sort of people being able to get to that aha moment, because that so many things need to come before that, you know, of like talking through things and working through things and problem solving and being also a key, I feel like a key part of, I'm assuming also your genius too, is like, is being able to even get to that, like all the almost like work and like excavation and like thoughtful question asking to get to that place of solving the problem or having the aha moment, which is really amazing too.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's bringing a different energy. You know, some people are open to it and are like, just, this is my question. I don't, how do we fix this? And some people are like, you can't do nothing. What are we going to do? And then still they walk away with something, you know, there's still a moment where we've connected over something and I've asked the questions, we've dug in deep and I'm asking them to think about things a different way, or just sharing information, talking through it and feeling like somebody on the other side gets it. They've been there. They're empathetic. They're hearing you and they're understanding. Yep, I've been here. And let me ask you this question. Have you thought about it like this? Or they're just able to understand you were in the mess. Mm-hmm. You were in the dark. You were in the bad part and you saw a way through too. Mm-hmm. And here's the way I went through. You don't have to do that way, but you can do it a different way. You can do it your way and you're going to be better on the other side. You're going to be stronger on the other side, no matter what it is, which is awesome. And I think that's a huge piece too, that some people just don't feel that connection, that ability to be understood or seen for who they are and where they are, and that there is a way through, which is great.
And what would you say was the number one most helpful thing for you inside of the book?
Truly realizing that I am more than my job title. Like, I put so much stock into what my job is, my role, and realizing that, like, you know, you go through the exercise of like listing all of the things that you've accomplished before. And I realized with every single one of those things I wrote down, I identified as that person in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so coming on the other side, when I wasn't that title anymore, like, you get through a point where, like, what am I? And I think that was the biggest part of your book, is realizing I'm more than my title. I've done all these other great things, and I have something to share, which is awesome. And feeling like I have a voice, and it's, you know, but at the moment it might be a little small, but I do have a voice and a point of view that I want to share with other people.
Yeah. I feel like that's a huge aha moment, because I feel like that's something I've definitely had to like work on over the years myself, is like, essentially like that I'm not my job, I'm not my title. And that I went recently back to like an alumni event at our university where we did this leadership class that used to be on weekends, and we went and you kind of go back as an alumni and watch the students do it in real time. And the professor was kind of talking about going back to basics of like, you and your job are like two separate things, and it's so easy to put them together. And here I was, it was like only like a handful of months ago, I was like taking notes on this, because like, oh yeah, this is very like irrelevant information, you know, because it's so easy to put it together of like, you know, deriving like value and like status, or like your ego gets into it, or like just your mind or society. And then it's like, yes, if you're not there, or you're maybe not in the career that you love, then it's so easy to be like hard on yourself. Or even I was watching some YouTube video this morning, this person who was just changing careers. And yeah, she just say, you know, you get so like caught up in of like, even just the little things of like, when you tell people what you do for work, or when people ask you, it just those little moments, or even like if you're like, you know, in social settings and people like quickly ask you like what you do, is always like a top question. But kind of like looking at your identity of who you are, like outside of that, outside of the thing that we focus on so much in society, I think is such important work to like focus on and realize, and kind of be able to like know that you're amazing, like even regardless of the work you do.
Yeah, it's hard, because you're right. Like, you know, as women and as business people, like, we want the quick answer. Like, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah.
Because we're almost evaluating, like, do I want to continue talking to you because your job and whatever you do sounds interesting, or do I need to move on? Right. And also, I think we use it as like conversation filler.
Yeah.
But the more we consistently just reaffirm what we do, it's always our job title. Mm-hmm. And so then we continue to build that identity around it. And so feeling like I'm not just my job.
Yeah.
More than that, I have more to offer. That's a mouthful to get out in a short conversation with somebody. So trying to like change that script of like, who am I if I'm not XYZ?
Right.
And being okay with saying that is some so scary and so vulnerable. But I think it's important because that really then gets to the work of your part of like figuring out who are you and what is your genius and what can you tap into that maybe you didn't realize you had before. And that part I think is huge because then you're really seeing like you are way more than just your job title. You are way more than your degrees. You're more than the certifications you have. You're so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And you do provide so much value to other people as well as yourself. And, you know, yes, you may have this title, whatever it is in the moment, but that might change. Mm-hmm. You know, your job changes, your life changes, that changes in time. And totally. So it's important.
Yeah. So when you kind of sit with that question of like, who am I outside of my role, what kind of things would you write down? Like, what kind of things would kind of come up for you?
Obviously, like there's the main titles, like I'm a wife, I'm a mom, you know, I'm a daughter, I'm a friend, all of those kinds of things. Yeah. But I think, you know, as I kind of like really think about my personality is that I'm very compassionate and very understanding. Obviously, I'm very outgoing. But I am such a learner. I love to learn. If I could be a professional student and somebody would pay me a lot of money to do it, I'll stand in line. I'll be first in line. I love school. It's why I have way too many degrees. Because I genuinely enjoy learning and teaching other people. Yeah. And so I think, you know, even though I might be not in education at the moment, I think teaching is such a big piece of, I want to learn something and then teach it to somebody else. There's just like that special spot of like sharing other information and knowledge with other people that I just love. I enjoy that part so much.
Well, I love the way you answer that. And I also feel like I could feel so much of your energy come through when you talk about things that you love too, you know? And I think it makes so much sense of, you know, why your genius, or like what your genius is, given all these things that you enjoy so much and things that you like naturally gravitate towards. And I definitely resonate with that, sort of that lifelong learner inside you and that love for learning and it being fun to learn and just enjoying it. I just enjoy it too.
Yeah. And I didn't enjoy it in high school. I was not like the best student in high school. And I think later in college, I kind of started figuring out like, does it take to be a good student? Like what does that? And then once you kind of figure it out, it's like, school's awesome. This is great. Why wasn't I doing this earlier? You know, I love those pieces of like going to class and discussion and taking notes. And of course, mainly probably because of the highlighters and the office supplies, but
I hear you.
Love a good office supply and post-it note.
for sure. And then after reading the book, was there anything that you were able to accomplish that perhaps you weren't able to do before, big or small?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it pushed me into kind of thinking about having that coaching business and thinking about all of the other things I could do within that space, because like I said, education and connection are such a big piece of my life that I love. It really did push me to think, hey, maybe I could do some coaching. What could I coach on? What could I talk about? It showed me the potential for more and what other doors it could open if I really wanted it to. And give me a little bit of time to like daydream about what could be. In a very different capacity than I had before, which I really liked. I enjoyed that piece because, you know, when you think your life is in one track and then it goes someplace else, it gets a little fun to kind of daydream and go, what could this look like? What would this be like?
Yeah.
And having that exercise and that opportunity to do that really opened some doors and some eyes of, well, something could be very different. I could be speaking about something, or I could be, you know, consulting or working with a group of people or whatever it is on a different topic, still doing some kind of teaching or education of some nature, but not necessarily in a school environment. And I wasn't really prepared for something like that. I didn't think about it that way at all. I always thought like teaching, school, there you go. Like they go together.
I'm glad that was able to support you through that. I feel like that's a really key thing. I've been reading, I keep talking about it because it's been top of mind for me, but the Designing Your Life book by these two Stanford professors, they have great exercises as well about when you're thinking about work to do in the world and you kind of think about all these different options that you could be doing. And they use this a design thinking approach to help you problem solve your finding work and finding meaningful work. And it was so interesting because it made me sit through and like brainstorm ideas I never thought of, and to like think about if I would like that or not. And like, they have a lot of exercises of pairing random things together to see if you can create something new. And it was just so interesting. And I was like, oh, this is actually like really fun to think these new possibilities through. And almost like I love what you said, like daydream in a new way, because it's so easy to like anchor to what you know and like what you're familiar with, or like what you see people and friends doing. But it's sort of like digging into those, the unknown unknowns, the stuff you had no idea about that you never thought was possible. And you're like, oh, well, that's a possibility. Or like somebody does that. Like, that's so cool.
100%. Cause I think, you know, like we can make a big list, right, of all of these potential options.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do them, right? You don't, they're really not absolutes, but they're a possibility. And I think when you're opening yourself up to a possibility, you never know what the universe is going to provide for you. Mm-hmm. You never know, but at least maybe it's out there, like, oh, maybe this could be something. Mm-hmm. And it's like that one diagram that's like what you think it's going to be, like the straight line, but really it's like all over the place. It's totally that design right there of like, what else could you potentially do? Because it opens your eyes and opens your doors that you didn't realize before. So you're not closing yourself off to anything. And I think that's a big piece, is that, you know, if you keep thinking in one track, you really do close yourself off to other opportunities that could lead you in a place that you'd never guess. Like, I never thought I'd be on the podcast. So there you go. Like, there's so many opportunities if you want them to be out there.
Totally. And were there any big mindset shifts that you had while reading the book? It could be big or small.
I guess kind of going back to like just being more than the job title, like really figuring out, how am I defining success? Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of your exercises was like really looking at, who do I admire and who am I finding successful, and for what reasons? Like, what do I look at them for? You know, in similarity to maybe the things that I perceive I have, or maybe I don't have, and seeing that like a lot of those characteristics are things either that I have or that I'm trying to build or that I want to emulate, and how those can carry into so many different roles, so many different jobs. And, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, Jen Sincero or, you know, or Jen Hatmaker or somebody like that, because they're already taken, but I can be me. I can be Lindsay Schmidt. I can do something else.
Yeah.
I can cultivate my own thing that speaks to who I am.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. It's one of my favorite exercises in the book. So I made it the first one because it was my favorite. And I feel like it's like it packs a punch. And it's, I don't know, I remember the first time I kind of like put those questions together for myself, it was really interesting to see like what I valued and what I thought were like interesting gifts in people, or just like what those people had done and what they had like maybe achieved or built. I mean, they were like all entrepreneurs who had kind of done their own thing and had like creative work and interesting work or like fascinating work or stuff to me, stuff that was meaningful to me. You know what I mean? So it was, yeah, I liked how you kind of said it's about, and for the listeners listening, it's the question about like, who are your idols and sort of like who you love and the people you look up to and what gifts you admire about them, or the gifts you probably have inside yourself. And I feel like it's such a helpful question to figure out what you really value and what you really like and what is meaningful to you and what are meaningful gifts and meaningful kind of work that they've pursued that isn't just your standard like run of the mill thing, you know? Because people, I feel like when I talk to readers, like people admire all sorts of different folks who've built all sorts of different things. You know what I mean? And stray the path of conventional norms. And are like, you know, you maybe look up to somebody who had like a very successful like food blog, or somebody who's, you know, has like some sort of like knitting community, you know, and people see like those gifts or like value pieces of that, or like what you had said about the definition of success, of like what it means to kind of like live like a good life, or, you know, that kind of thing that you see in the people that you admire, of like, I'd like to do something like that, something meaningful or something similar to that.
Yeah. What I loved best about it too is it really put characteristics of things that I feel like I have, like my strengths, like I've done the strengths finders, like leadership books are like my love language, I always say.
Yeah.
Is that it put it in a different perspective of, you know, I I read a lot of these authors' books or, you know, Instagrams, podcasts, all of the things. And there's things that are consistent that I end up liking very similar people.
Yeah.
And I don't obviously personally know them, but I took that exercise and I grabbed, you know, some of those types of people, but I also grabbed other like people who I do know of like, what do I really respect and look up to this person? What skills do they have that I feel like that is something I want to do or what I want or how does that person do that? Mm-hmm. And I loved connecting all of those dots of what does that speak to of what I currently have and what do they have that maybe I'm looking to improve or grow on that I can then carry through because they all ended up being like soft skills. They all ended up being some kind of like teaching communication types of pieces versus like they went to a certain school and got a certain degree. And that just made everything seem like it just clicked. It made so much sense because anybody and everybody can work on those pieces. And that is so much more relatable than like, oh, go do this, do this, do this, get this certification, go to this class, get this degree, and then you can get this kind of job and make this kind of money.
Yeah.
And that, like, I feel like that sold a lot versus this really was like, what do you have inside you and how can you continue to cultivate that piece? Because it's already bringing you joy. It's already making you happy. Keep going on that path, which I loved that part.
Thank you. I like that part too.
Well, good. Think, it's your book. Yeah, you should. Yeah. It's awesome.
Thank you. Well, I mean, part of why I wanted, like, part of what the messaging I really wanted to, like, hone in on is that, like, people have, like, it's already there. You know, it's that message of, like, you don't really have to do anything. It's there, which I think is really key. So, Lindsay, if listeners want to find you online or work with you or check out your stuff, where is the best place for them to swing by and say hello?
Yes. Well, for sure. Just because of your listeners and I love you. So I wanted to actually have a little site and coaching package just for your listeners. So they can find me on LindseySchmidtHabitCoaching.com. So it's LindseySchmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, HabitCoaching.com. So I have a little habit coaching package if they are interested in talking that they can connect there and we can connect and talk about it. Otherwise, on Instagram, I'm living with greatness and there's underscores between living underscore with underscore greatness. And so we can connect there. Of course, LinkedIn as well. I'm just Lindsay Schmidt. So those are probably the best places to connect.
Sweet. Cool. I'll make sure that those are all in the show notes. And then as a habit coach, do you have any advice for anybody who's looking to take the leap or shift things up in their life? I feel like this sort of theme of transition has really been prevalent. I feel like in a lot of the conversations I've been having with guests or friends or just everybody, I feel like there is sort of this wave of newness stirring. I feel like in the energy vortex right now for a lot of folks. So for people who are looking to make a transition or make a change, do you have any advice?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, whether it's a decision that is, you know, forced upon you or it's something that you're doing purposefully, messy middles and confusion are going to be part of your vernacular for a while. It's just, everything's going to take longer than you want, but not longer than you need. And with every change, as you kind of re-identify, what does life look like in this season? Your habits and what you do to realign yourself, you will fall back on over and over again. And so when you have strong habits, you have things that keep you in a positive mindset, those are going to be the things that carry you through that messy middle. Because even as you make decisions of things you don't want to do, that's a step in the right direction. And that's what keeps you going forward each day, even when it's difficult or it's a bad day or bad moment or whatever it is. Those are going to be the big pieces that ultimately end up carrying you to whatever goal or finish line you're looking to achieve.
That's a great answer, Lindsay. I really like that answer because it's so true. Even if you're trying to like train for a marathon, you know, and it's like the habit and the mental mindset of like showing up on the days when it's really hard or it's like raining outside and you don't want to run and you need to practice the running. It's very much that equivalent of like having the habits and the mindset in place to get through like the messy middle and like the hard bits of whatever pursuit or journey you're on, career, life, personal, just like showing up and like staying the course when it's not great.
Absolutely. Because I mean, truly, like, habits are over 50% of our day. We don't realize it, but it really is like over 50% of our day. And so even things beyond like working out and taking care of ourselves, but like simple things of like talking nice to ourselves and saying the right things and, you know, brushing our teeth and making our bed and eating the right foods and reaching out to people, connecting with them, even small habits like that, they compound over time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's each little thing that we do to be the person we want to be all ends up coming back to what, how did we cultivate that peace? How did we create that habit? How did we make the task so it became automatic? So it's not something we do, it's just who we are. We are a compassionate person. We are a person that, you know, takes care of ourselves, you know, mentally and physically. We are somebody who eats healthy. We read, we learn, we connect with other people. We take care of our friends and our family. You know, those are the identity pieces that ultimately in the long run end up being making us happier individuals and happier people. Because I think everybody at the end of the day just wants to feel loved and heard and understood and cared for.
Totally. Any other final little bits of wisdom you want to end the episode on or anything else you want to share, Lindsay?
No, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. I really appreciate being here. The book is amazing. If anybody hasn't gotten it, they need to go get it today. It's awesome. And I appreciate being here and I appreciate you having me on the podcast. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It was such a pleasure, Lindsay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, my friends, and there you have it. That's the show for you today. Thank you so much for listening, as always. And if you would like to order a copy of P.S. You're a Genius, you can do so at kellytrack.com/books. That's kellytrack.com/books. All right, have an amazing week, and I'll catch you back here soon. Bye for now.